Tonight we're going to be looking at the topic of anger. The topic of anger. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 28 once again says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Anger is the commonly justified sin. Why do I mean by that it's a commonly justified sin? We typically say, well, it was not my fault. Or I inherited a hot temper, so don't blame me. Or somebody irritated me. Or something displeased me. Or, I wasn't furious, I was just upset. You know, or it's just the way I am. And there's all those kind of excuses, and I've heard of most of those, and you probably have too. All right? And maybe we've even used some of those excuses. But God doesn't want us to be angry people. And this evening we're going to look at what God says about anger and how to rule it. And so as we look at this, first of all, the anger problem is a real common sin, and we realize that. But we need to, first of all, define what anger is. You know, sometimes we can just talk about things, we assume we know what it means, but as we look at a definition, I got two different definitions. One, first one's from Oxford Dictionary, the second one's from the Cambridge Dictionary. And the Oxford Dictionary says that anger is the strong feeling that you have when something has happened that you think is bad or unfair. Then Cambridge adds to this, and he says that it is the strong feeling that makes you want to hurt someone or be unpleasant because something unfair or unkind has happened. So we can kind of digest that and put it in a simpler definition that's just basically that we can say that anger is the reaction we may have when we are displeased with someone or something. It's a reaction that we have. Something doesn't make us happy. And so we respond in a negative way. And sometimes our displeasure is justified, but often it is selfish. You know, as I've evaluated anger when it comes out of my heart, most of the time I have to admit it's selfishness. I didn't get what I wanted. Somebody didn't do what I wanted them to do. Or this thing happened to me. Or you hurt me. Or that was mine. And all a lot of it has to do with selfishness. But on the other hand, sometimes displeasure can be a reaction that may be godly. You know, we may respond calmly or biblically address the irritation. But, you know, often it is a rash, a sinful outburst, often loud, harsh, mean, cruel, cutting, provoking, violent sometimes, or otherwise ungodly. It's that response that we have that just isn't right. We respond in a harsh and critical way. And, you know, sometimes our anger can respond in a harsh way, and we don't even recognize it because we've been so used to it. We've done it that way so much that we don't even recognize that we're actually being harsh. So we need to be careful about these things. And as we look at this tonight, just ask the Lord to help us to see things from His perspective. Anger, like every sin, has its origin in the heart. It's its origin down in the heart. And we've all been angry. Babies get angry. I remember Melody and I we just had our first son. He wasn't very old, just a tiny little baby. And there was absolutely nothing wrong. He was fed. He was not hungry. He was dry. He didn't have any reason. And as soon as you pick him up, he was perfectly fine. But you set him down and he throws a fit. You know? Why? Because they want their way. They want what they want. And so we get it from very early age. We inherited it from our ancestors, Adam and Eve, as a result of the fall, but that doesn't excuse it. We have struggled with it for a long time. Children often get angry with their siblings, their brothers and sisters, and their friends. Parents can get angry with their disobedient children, and that can be very, very frustrating. When you tell them and tell them and tell them and they won't obey and they don't do it and you've just told them 2 minutes ago and they do it again. And, it can be very frustrating. And spouses can get angry with each other. Probably one of the greatest problems in marriages are conflicts that come from disagreements, and they get angry with each other. Our anger generally erupts because something did not go our way. I wanted it this way, and it didn't happen that way. And I get upset about that. But you know, the Bible has a lot to say about that. We saw a whole bunch of verses tonight during our quiz time. And some of those we'll look at here tonight as well. But verses that deal with the topic of anger. And God addresses it in many different perspectives. But I think one of the key verses on anger is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 26. I'd like you to just flip over there and look at that verse. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 26. This is a key verse, and I'll explain why in just a moment here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 26 says, Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And that can be a very confusing verse because God says, be angry. And you think, why did he say be angry? But when you understand that the verb there, be angry, is actually a passive imperative. Now what that means, when something's passive, if I said, I hit the ball, that's active. If I said the ball hit me, that's passive. I didn't do it, it hit me. That's passive. And this is a passive verb, and he says, in other words, we are to allow ourselves to be angered, but don't sin. So it's not wrong if something happens that is irritating, and we feel irritated inside, or we feel that emotion of anger building up inside because something just wasn't right. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that is fine. But God says we are not to sin. We're not to sin. And so he clarifies this for us and tells us here that though we may be justified in being angry at times, we must not sin. And then he says, let not the sun go down upon our wrath. In other words, we need to deal with this problem, this provoking feeling before the sun goes down. Don't let it last. You know, that is so important in our marriages, it's important in our families, it's important in our relationships. Don't let that fester, because if we do, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. It never gets better by itself. We can't just ignore anger and think that it's going to go away. It doesn't happen that way. And we need to give our anger irritation to God and then ask him to help us to address it properly and let it go. And we're going to see a little bit on how to do that tonight. You know, some examples of times when it's justified to be angry. You know, if you're married and you see someone flirting with your spouse, you ought to be angry. That's not right. You know, if a child talks back to their parent, that ought to make us angry. That's not right. God said that's wrong. You know, when you hear people talking about abortion and justifying abortion, that ought to make us boil inside. That's not right. Abortion's wrong. And we ought to be angry at these things. But God says that we must not sin. We must be controlled. We must control our feelings and control our angers and deal with it biblically. Very important that we do that. And that's the hard part of dealing with things in a biblical fashion. And the Bible speaks extensively on anger. And as I mentioned a moment ago, Sean had several of these verses in our quiz time this evening. But just to remind us of these things, you know, Solomon especially mentions the fact that we need to be slow to anger. Slow to anger. All right? And both soon angry and slow angry may be sinful, but to be slow to anger is much less likely to be sinful. If we're slow, we're thinking about it, we're calm, we're dealing with it properly and not exploding. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29 says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. So if we're slow to wrath, God says that's an understanding way of looking at things. But if we're hasty, we are exalting folly. What is folly? Well, that's foolishness. He says we're lifting up foolishness. He says don't do that. Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. So if we're a wrathful person, we're stirring it up. You get angry and other people get angry. And the more angry you get, the more angry they get. And then it escalates into a war. All right? Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that rules his spirit than he that taketh the city. And God here is saying that in Solomon's day, one of the greatest feats that you could have as a masculine man was to be a great warrior. I mean, they lived in time of fear. And enemies would attack. And the cities had to be fortified. And the soldiers had to be ready. And at all times, no matter where you were, whether you were in the field or in the city, you needed to be ready for battle because the enemy could approach at any moment like that. And they sneak up over the hill and here they come. And you need to be ready. And those that were valiant in battle were the heroes. And yet he says here, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty man. And he that is he that ruleth his spirit than he that takes the city. You can be a great soldier. You're the hero. But he says you can be a greater hero by ruling your spirit. Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man deferreth anger, and he that and it is his glory to pass over transgression. So the discretion of a man, that discernment, that defers anger and says, I'm going to hold it off. I'm not going to let it explode. I'm going to think through this. I'm going to work through this. That verse we read earlier in Ecclesiastes 7:9, be not hasty in spirit to be angry, but for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Not very complimentary. But when we get angry, God says we're acting like a fool. Because we're not following God's instruction. Proverbs 29:8. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. Wise men turn it away. They steer it in another direction. They keep wrath from being explosive and causing problems. Even over in the New Testament, the Lord instructs us on anger in several places. We find in Colossians 3:8, written basically to all believers, he says, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. He said, put it off. Get rid of it. Don't let that be part of your life. He instructs parents in Colossians 3:26, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. It can be so easily done by us not handling things properly. Then to all of us, once again, James says there in James 1:19-20, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. He said, we need to be slow to speak and slow to wrath. And yet many times that's not the way it is. I want to give you some biblical characteristics of unruled anger. This is anger that's out of control. What does it look like? How does it act? Scriptures tell us that it acts foolishly. Proverbs 29:20, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words, there's more hope of a fool than of him. To be hasty in your words, to not keep our mouth shut when we ought to keep it shut, and hasty in our words, often we get ourselves into great trouble. And we spout out things we shouldn't say. And God says, there's more hope of a fool than of him. We're a little illustration of a son that came to his father and he said, Dad, how do wars begin? And so Dad starts to explain to him very carefully. He says, son, let's just take for example, he said, World War I. He said, World War I started when Germany invaded Belgium. And about that time, mother interrupts and she says, tell the boy the truth. It began when somebody was murdered. And father replies, are you telling the story or am I telling the story? And she stomps her feet and walks out of the room, slams the door behind her. And the father pauses for a moment and the little boy says, Daddy, you don't have to tell me how wars begin. I know how they begin. But you know, we've been there, done that. We know what that's like when we erupt with the wrong response. So the wrong response is to act foolishly and get angry. It also, the wrong response is that it leads us to more sin. You know, when we are angry, we will say hurtful words. Sometimes even Christians use profanity, hatred. Even murder comes out of people when they're angry. And we see that, you know, if you see people that are angry, maybe you come upon somebody that's, you know, in some public place and they're battling it out. Maybe it's probably not a husband and wife these days, but, you know, the couple, they're battling it out and they're screaming and yelling and hollering at each other. Maybe it's the neighbors over the fence, you know, and the louder it gets, the more violent it gets, the more profane it gets, the more, you know, they try to outdo each other and calling names and saying bad things. I mean, it leads to more and more sin. And so that's a real problem. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22 says, "An angry man stirreth up strife, but a furious man aboundeth in transgression." But they're furious, they abound in transgression. Thirdly, it causes misery for loved ones. Anger causes misery to those around us. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 19, "It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman." Solomon, of all people, ought to know what an angry woman was like. He had lots to choose from. And he said there that it's better to dwell in the wilderness, out there by yourself, away from everybody, than to have to dwell with an angry woman. You don't want to do that. It also provokes children. We saw that in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21. "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." The sequel to that is over in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. Then it also stirs up strife. We saw that in Proverbs 15:18. "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." So it stirs it up, it aggravates it. And when we get angry in ourselves, we just are actually poking at it and adding fire, wood to the fire and making it get hotter. And we've seen that happen. And the more we put, you know, that's why Proverbs 15:1 is so important. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." So if we respond calmly, just calm down, it's all right. No, just to stay calm, no, it'll be okay. And if we stay calm, it'll eventually calm things down. But all we have to do is say something fiery back and it explodes. So we need to be very, very careful. These are five ways or five characteristics of unruled anger. Now let me look at five characteristics of ruled anger. It is quiet and controlled. It's not explosive. It's not loud. You know, if we have proper anger, you know, you hear, you know, on the news that some report of some terrible thing that is taking place that is just not right. It's not biblical. It's not right. It's not godly. It's not pleasing to the Lord. And it ought to stir up anger in our hearts that this is the kind of thing is happening in our society. But we stay quiet and controlled about it. We don't, you know, jump up and start yelling and screaming and throw the shoe at the television. And, you know, the people do all kinds of crazy things because they're angry about things in the wrong way. Secondly, it is godly. It is anger without sin. And it's angry at sin, not at the sinner. You know, that's something that we have to work at doing. The being angry with the sin, not with the sinner. When a child does wrong, yes, we can be angry at what they did because that was wrong, but we should not be angry at the sinner. If our spouse does something that was wrong, getting angry at what was done that was wrong may be right, but we should not have the response that we're after the person. We're after the sin problem instead of the person. So we need to be careful that we are angry with the sin and not with the sinner. Number three, it is unselfish, concerned for what is right, not for revenge. You know, if we can truly be concerned for what is right, You know, maybe that situation with abortion. You know, we can say, that's not right. You know, we ought to do something to stop this, and we need to work at trying to prevent it. And so we are focused on what is right, not on revenge. Trying to get even. Many times that's what happens. You broke my toy, and it's not right, and I'm going to get back at you some way. And we get angry about that. So it's revenge instead of doing what is right. Number four, it is slow and thoughtful, not quick and foolish. Anger that is in our heart, that we can see this situation just was not right, and that needs to be dealt with. And we sometimes need that to motivate us to get up and do something about it, but we need to make sure we do it carefully, slowly, and thoughtfully, without being foolish and quick. And then number five, it is constructive, seeking biblical resolution. You know, if we're angry at something that was wrong, our goal needs to be, how can I help to fix that? Not how can I get even with them? That wasn't right. So there needs to be a goal of resolution. You know, if we struggle with anger, just like all these other problems that we've looked at, we need to admit it. That's the hardest part. And admitting our anger can be very humiliating. To say, well, all right, yes, I do have an anger problem. I've got a problem I've got to deal with. And I know this from experience. You know, when I was a boy, I don't think most people would have called me an angry boy, but there were times that I'd get angry. And not rightly, not justly, and I'm just not justifying it. And my brother was usually the one that got the brunt of it. You know, he was younger than me. And whenever I'd get angry, maybe we'd be... I remember one time we were back trying to move the cows from one paddock into another paddock. And cows can be stubborn when they don't want to go the way they're supposed to go. And I told my brother, you go over on that side and you keep them going that way, and I'll go this way and we'll try to get them in there. And they all went running past him and he couldn't stop them. And so I get mad at him because you didn't stop them. Well, if I was over there, I probably couldn't have stopped them either. But, you know, I was taking it out on him because they weren't going where we wanted them. And so, you know, and there was lots of times like that. And I say that shamefully. I'm not proud of the fact that I had an anger problem. And the Lord began to work in my heart and began to gain control over that. But then even years afterwards, Melody and I are married, and Melody would sometimes say, you know, you shouldn't get angry like that. I didn't get angry. All I did is I got a bit frustrated. I got a bit irritated. I didn't get angry. And I would, you know, always justify and make excuses. And I wasn't getting angry like I was at my brother. I wasn't throwing sticks at him and stuff like I did my brother. But, I mean, I wasn't responding right. And it wasn't until I said, oh, yeah, I understand. Even when I get irritated, that's the trigger for anger, and that's not right. Yes, I understand. I'm guilty. And then I was able to start making some progress. And I'm not going to stand up and say, hey, I've arrived. I wouldn't say that. But I've made progress. And you can too. But we've got to be willing to say, I'm guilty. You know, a sign of anger is frequently being irritated and having an irritated spirit. It's a spirit that's easily irritated at things that go wrong. It's just not right. Why does it do that? And I mean, we may not blow our top. We may not scream and yell. We may not kick and squirm. But we're irritated inside. And that irritation in our heart is the catalyst for anger. And we need to quit justifying our irritation. If you get angry often, you have an angry problem. An anger problem. And don't make excuses and call it other names. That's the easy thing to do. We can call it, I'm just getting a bit upset. I'm just a little bit irritated, but I'm not angry. Yeah, and I'm not angry. Don't say I'm angry. I'm not angry. You know, sometimes we do that, you know, and we really are. But what we need to do is just say, yes, I admit I have a problem. And if others accuse us of anger, we need to take a closer look. You know, sometimes we may not think we are angry. Just as I mentioned, Melody would say to me, you know, you need to really work on your irritated spirit. You, every time you get irritated, that's really a form of anger. And I'd say, no, it's not. And I'd make all excuses. And we'd go over this. And then finally I had to admit, all right, yes, you're right. All right, I understand, you're right. And others can see it when we can't. And we may think we're fine, but others can see it in us. And we need to own up to it and admit it. And it's, you know, as we've talked in weeks gone by, this little phrase, you know, if God's against anger, then we need to say, if God's against it, so am I. If God's against it, so am I. And we've got to do that. Because that's a key to getting victory. And as humiliating as it may be, if we're an angry person, God wants us to admit it. And admitting the problem will lead us to victory. And once we admit that we have an anger problem, then God is ready to help us. If we'll say, God, I got a problem, then God's ready. And, you know, we need to confess this. It is sin to God. Just come to the Lord. That's the wonderful thing about the Scriptures. You know, you've got those great verses like Psalm 86:5, where God says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. He's good. He's ready to forgive. So if we'll come to him and say, God, I've got a problem. I can't control my anger. And God, would you please forgive me? Would you please wash me clean? He says he will. We know 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you know, it's great and awesome to think we have a great God that is loving and tender like that, that is willing to forgive. But unfortunately, other people aren't quite as willing as God is sometimes. And if we've hurt others with our anger and with our mouth, we've wounded them in some way, they may not be ready to forgive like God is. But we need to seek their forgiveness. We need to humbly and with a broken heart come to them and say, would you please forgive me? I was not right. I should not have acted that way. Would you please forgive me? The thing that's really humiliating is we've got to do it every time. Every time we fail, we've got to do it. Every time we fail, we've got to go back and say, I was wrong. I handled that wrong. That was not the way to deal with that. Would you please forgive me? And you know, if we'll do that, it'll help us to be able to conquer it, because it's not fun to go to somebody and say, I was wrong. None of us likes to do that. And I've had to come to most of you at one time or another and say, what I did or what I said or the way I acted was not right. Would you please forgive me? And I don't like doing that. And you don't like it either. But it's good for us. And it helps us. It helps us to be able to conquer and to get victory. And then we need to seek God's help to rule our anger. You know, give the problem to the Lord daily. Every day we need to come to the Lord as we're talking to him in our time with him alone. We need to say, Lord, you know I've got a problem with this anger. Would you please help me guard my mouth today, guard my thoughts today, guard my heart today. Don't let me respond in the wrong way. And cast our burden on the Lord. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. We need to cast our burden on him. That is a burden and we need to give it to him. And he asks us to give it to him. And ask him then to make us aware of each time when we start getting irritated. And you know, folks, listen, if we can stop the irritation, we won't explode in anger. Because it's that little irritated part where we start to go, oh, wait a minute, hang on, calm down, it's okay, it's all right. No, I'm not going to explode, I'm not going to get angry, I'm not going to let that bug me. And we calm down at the irritated point, then we're not going to have the anger point. And so we need to start right there and ask God to help us to be aware of that when it starts. And at first it's going to be tough, but then as we get on, we'll start catching it and catching ourselves and be able to get more victory over that. And then we need to depend upon the Holy Spirit every day for victory, specifically yielding our anger to him. Specifically, coming to Him and saying, Holy Spirit of God, I need Your help to get victory over anger today. I need You. And talk to Him specifically about it. Walk in harmony with the Holy Spirit. That's where it all begins. Galatians 5, 16 says, this I say then, if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And fulfilling the lust of the flesh, getting angry is fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And so He says, if we walk in the Spirit, we won't do that. We will not fulfill the lust of the flesh if we walk in the Spirit. And so how do we do that? Stay close to God. Stay close to God. Walk in harmony with Him. Seek to become a meek and a gentle person like the Lord. You know, you think about the times when people attacked Jesus in so many ways. They said terrible things about Him. They egged Him on, goading Him, trying to get Him to get irritated and say things He shouldn't say. And Jesus always stayed calm. Always stayed meek and gentle. And then one thing that I know will help us is to each day find one verse. Don't try to find a whole bunch, but find one verse, maybe one of these we've talked about here tonight, write it on a card, carry it with you, and meditate on that verse all day long. And when I talk about meditate, I'm talking about, especially in times when you just are not, you know, it's hard to meditate a lot when you're working. I mean, some work allows you to do that, but most work you got to concentrate on what you're doing. And meditating takes time to just tune out from everything else. You know, lying down at a nap time or at a just before you go into bed or maybe first thing in the morning. If you're like me, you wake up earlier than you're supposed to and you lay there and think, oh, why did I wake up so soon? Well, might as well use it for something useful. And meditate on those verses. Think about them. Go over and over and over in your mind. Not just quoting it, but thinking about, how does this apply? What does this mean? How does that... What did God mean when He said that? How can I do that? What would it look like in my life today? Go over that in your mind, and it'll help you to just get that picture in your mind of what God wants you to do in that area. And so just pick out a verse and make it your verse for the day or maybe the verse for the week, and you just go over it and over it, over it, over it, and then maybe change and do another verse another time. But that will help you greatly to be able to overcome this problem of anger. Ruling an angry spirit is not easy, but God can give us victory. We can. We trust in Him. God will give us victory.